I want to encourage you to turn in your Bibles with me this morning as you look at this picture, which I'll speak about in a moment. I want to encourage you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, and I want to read with you verses 18 through 23 as we complete our thinking. We've been thinking about this all month long together. We've been thinking about the birth of Jesus Christ. We've been preparing for his arrival, and this morning it's a great celebration together. This is what Matthew records. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And it's those last four words that I want to focus on with you this morning. Emmanuel, which means God with us. So I want to introduce to you two people in this photo. The first is the tall guy in the middle there with no hair. His name is Sean Sikkema. And his wife, Diane, is on the far right. Diane and Sean Sikkema. I met them about 15 years ago, as I'm remembering now. They ministered for 26 years in a church that is called today Eastern Hills Community Church, located in Aurora, Colorado, where Sean served as the senior pastor. And it's a Christian Reformed church. And, this is not the church. Except for, just wait, it is a Christian Reformed church. And under Sean's leadership, starting out 26 years ago now, with 100 souls in worship, renting a high school gym, and today it is a church, a ministry center, 70,000 square feet, and each Sunday morning, they have 2,400 people worshiping together in their worship center in multiple services. I met Sean 15 years ago because I had heard about the phenomenal growth that had occurred in his church, and so I flew out there. I flew to Denver, and we rented a car, and I spent a weekend at this church because I wanted to know what was happening in this church. I wanted to know what accounted for their phenomenal growth in this church. So I met with his staff. I met with Sean. I attended a morning service. But really, Sean had one message for me, and that is, it's not about what we're doing here. It's all about how God is blessing us. It's all about how God is choosing to bless us. And Jack, you know, if there's anything that you can take home to your church, it's the need for prayer, and it's the need to love your people, and it's the need to to get your people to love their neighbors in the community around them? This church is the envy of many a pastor. 2 years ago, Sean and Diane left this church. And 2 years ago, they decided to enter into a very different kind of ministry altogether. 2 years ago, they actually left their home in the suburbs, Aurora. This church is located in one of the wealthiest sections of Aurora. And they moved into a motel room in the poorest section of Aurora, located on East Colfax Avenue, a 4 mile strip of squalid, cheap hotels, 26 altogether. And they moved into a motel room where they now make their home to live and work among people who are impoverished, people without permanent shelter, people who are working in the sex trade, people who are suffering from mental illness and alcoholism and drug addiction, and others who inhabit this stretch of road on East Colfax Avenue. And so, as I put that picture on earlier just by mistake, but this really is church now for Sean and Diane. This is their parish. This strip of 4 miles on Colfax Avenue is filled with domestic violence, with broken family relationships, and with gang activities and shootings that are a part of daily life. This little 4 mile strip of road here is home to people who just struggle to survive. And Sean and Diane have chosen to make this room their home. Sean's office is a table at the cafe a couple of blocks away. And every day, Sean and Diane and a couple of their cohorts knock on motel doors. They listen to painfully difficult stories, and they pray with those who choose to open their doors. And that was 2 years ago that they moved into this room. And over the course of the weeks and the months, and now a couple of years, the inhabitants of this street, this little stretch of street, this God-forsaken stretch of hopelessness and despair, over the last couple of years, the inhabitants of this street are beginning to view Sean and Diane as one of them. And relationships are being established. And hard to come by trust is beginning to be built. And if you ask Sean why they made, the two of them, this gutsy decision to move in, because I'm not sure any one of us would have done that, he'll tell you that the only way that they could bridge the gap from the wealth of the distant suburbs to the poverty of the street was by moving in. It was the only way that they could begin to make a difference in the lives of the people who inhabit this street. It was the only way they felt that they could genuinely and authentically begin to develop relationships with people who so desperately needed hope and healing, and who so desperately needed to hear some good news, who so desperately needed to feel like they were loved and cared about. It is the only way that Sean and Diane could see that they could begin to make a difference in the lives of these people. Now, if you find this a bit surprising, maybe even unthinkable, then you think about the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. You think about the co-creator of the universe. You think about the one who left the safety and the splendor of the suburbs of heaven and the one who also left the companionship of the Father and the Son and spiraled down to earth in one instant. The Son of God became a microscopic embryo in the womb of a young girl. 9 months later, he emerged into the harsh reality of this broken and fallen world in which we live. As a weak and vulnerable baby, unable to turn his back onto his back without assistance. Utterly dependent on the nourishment and the care of his mother and the warmth of her loving touch. And the reason he came was to become one of us. God, of course, could have chosen to come in any way, right? He could have chosen to come in any way he wished. He could have come in divine power. He could have come in holy terror. He could have come manifesting his authority as he did in the burning bush or in any other awesome display. Perhaps the fire and the lightning and the thunder of the mountain. He could have come in any other way that we encounter his appearances in the Old Testament and in the book of Revelation. But God wanted to meet us where we are. And so he came as one of us. And he moved into our neighborhood. He moved into a motel room on our street. And he came as someone whom you and I could approach, not in holy terror, but someone whom we could come to know and come in time to trust. Which brings us to the words of the Gospel of Matthew this morning, as he records the prophecy. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us. Perhaps four of the most amazing and hope-inspired, hope-fused words in all of Scripture. When Jesus came, he didn't come in a cameo role. He lived among us for 33 years. He approached the lepers with a touch. He healed the blind with compassion. He fed the hungry with concern. He extended grace to the despised tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes. He cared about people. He loved them dearly. In the brief 3-year glimpse that we get of Jesus' life, all of his waking hours were devoted to addressing the physical and the emotional and the spiritual needs of people around him. Sean and Diane came to understand that and decided that they would devote their lives to emulating the ministry model of Christ himself. They left the safety and the security and the wealth, the relative wealth of the suburbs. And they're living down and dirty on Colfax Avenue. which is exactly what the Son of God chose to do. To get down and dirty into our little tiny world and to walk the dusty planet, the dusty paths of our fallen planet. You know, everywhere he went, he encountered hardship and he encountered opposition, which ultimately led to the Roman cross, a death that makes all of the difference for you and for me. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, he was despised and rejected by men. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, the peace that we bask in this season of Advent and now Christmas, the peace that we sing about together, the peace that we extend to one another, the peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus could have avoided it all, but it was a choice that he made. He could have stayed safe and secure in the suburbs, but he came because he loved. And he died because he loved. So what does all of this mean? It means, first of all, that you are far more loved. You are far more loved. Precious to God than you and I can begin to imagine. You ever think of yourself as someone who is precious? You are his beloved, precious son and daughter. When I look at my life, quite honestly, I find it very difficult for me to grasp the fact that I am precious, that I am his beloved. And yet Emmanuel, God with us, challenges me, and it challenges all of us together with the truth that there is something in God so profoundly merciful, so profoundly gracious, so profoundly loving that he desires to be with us. Imagine, God wants to be with you. And that something is not found in you, and that something is not found in me, but that something is found in him. There is something in God that wants to be with us, and that is found in him. And that is why it's called grace, and that is why it is called amazing grace. What we least deserve from him, he offers to us. And he offers to us this morning his deep and abiding love and presence in our lives. So many things lead us to devalue who we are. Instead of recognizing our infinite worth to God, we worry about the way that we look. We look at ourselves and we see in ourselves no extraordinary gifts or abilities or talents, nothing to set us apart from anyone else. No one seeks our autograph. We're plain vanilla in a culture that craves the other tantalizing 30 flavors. And yet the God who came into this world in the form of a baby came to be closer to you. He came to be closer to me. He came to remove the barriers that separate us from him because he wants to be with us. And whatever humiliation he endured, whatever rejection he received, whatever pain he had to bear was not too much of a price to pay to cement his relationship with you and me. The truth of the gospel is he wants to be with us for an eternity. You look at the manger and you look at the cross. Who else is that committed to you? Who else would do that for you? Who else would love you so? Who else would return our unfaithfulness and indifference with His love? And so I say that you and I are more precious to God than we can imagine. What does it mean for us? It means also that this morning there is much to celebrate. There is much to celebrate this Christmas because God is with you and He is for you. We'll never know why God wants to be with us. That is something that I just can't wrap my head around. I've expressed that so many times. But that He desires to be with you and me is undeniable. On that first Christmas, He came for us. 33 years later, He died for us. 3 days later, He rose for us. In the manger and the cross and in the empty tomb, He committed Himself to us for an eternity, which is, by the way, why when Jesus left this earth, He sent His Spirit to be with us, which means that you and I are never alone, which means that He will never leave us, which means that He will never turn His back on us. If there was any possibility, He would have done so 2,000 years ago when He tasted firsthand the worst cruelty that humankind could inflict upon Him. The truth is, before God came to earth, He knew that He would not be welcome, and yet He chose to come anyway. Why? Because that's what it took to provide our salvation and to win us back. That's what it took to enable Him to call us once again, my son, my daughter, my beloved. Emmanuel, God with us. It's not just one of those cozy sentiments that we hear every Christmas. It identifies the essence of Christmas, the wonder of Christmas, the importance of Christmas. There is so much for us as God's forgiven and redeemed daughters and sons to celebrate together today. So how do we respond to all of this? Is Emmanuel, God with us, just a phrase that we hear a few weeks out of the year, a phrase that we admire and then pack away with our other Christmas decorations until next Advent? I hope that we will never treat Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that He made just simply in coming down to our world as an ornament. There's only one appropriate response on this day, in fact, every day, and that is to accept Him by faith and to devote ourselves in gratefulness to being with Him and for Him. If you really, truly want to celebrate this Christmas, then take hold of God's love for you and embrace it with all that you are and all that you have, and give yourself to the One who gave Himself for you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are not some far-off, distant God who cares little for us, when in fact we are far more precious to you than we can ever know. Your love for us is amazing. That you would come into our world to be with us and give your life for us, to be recipients of such undeserved love. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we worship you. And with profound gratitude, we offer ourselves to you. Amen.